Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It's time to get up. What a mile high miss in game two. What happened to the Nuggets in the final seconds? We're going to break it down. And the Heat keep rising to the occasion. Can they actually win this thing? Big Perk says yes. He's going to explain why. Plus, are we in the midst of a dynasty in KC? How many more Super Bowls will Patrick Mahomes win? One of his teammates answers those questions, and so will we as we get up with you right now. Hey, good Monday morning. I'm Brian Custer in for Greeny. Welcome here to the Seaport. Hey, Monica McNutt is with me. Oh, I guess this is what, sun's out, guns out today, huh? Look at you.
Embracing the summer.
I love it. Listen, we got to break down game two of the NBA Finals. And look, we got Big Perk. Kendrick Perkins is with us. We got to talk some football. We got Lewis Riddick with us. Mike T, Mike Tannenbaum, Jay Fowle, Jeremy Fowle, and Wendy as well. But guys, we got to get to the game of the night. It was game two NBA Finals, and it was the Heat down one game to nothing to the Denver Nuggets. And boy, was this a good one. We started off early with Denver, who started slow. How about the touch pass there to Aaron Gordon?
That baseline is so good to this Nuggets offense when they can get action there when Jokic is able to draw in the middle. But the Heat did a really good job of taking away some of those back cuts.
Let's fast forward to the third, and here comes Big Honey.
Big Honey. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Jokic laying it in. You know, he joins LeBron James, Larry Bird as the only players with 500 points, 200 rebounds, 150 assists in a single postseason. Hey, Nuggets were up 8 after 3. We get to the fourth quarter. Oh, the Heat went on a 10-0 run. Gabe Vincent knocked down that 3. He had 23 in this game.
Gabe Vincent was huge, as was Duncan Robinson, who went on a personal 8-0 run in that fourth quarter. Both of these guys understood that they had to be far better than they were in game one, and they answered the call.
Jimmy Butler knocks down that 3. He had 8 points in the fourth quarter, and the Heat were up 6. Then, how about Kyle Lowry? This one, the Bam Adebayo rolling to the rim. Bam at 21-9. Heat up 11 after the free throw. But you knew the Nuggets were going to come back, and they did.
Yeah, Jamal Murray, it doesn't take much for him to get going, finding his range from behind the three-point line. And then this second-chance opportunity. This is the connectivity between Jokic and Murray. Big-time baskets at home.
So now the Heat trying to close this thing out. Jimmy Butler, this 3. No, they're up 3. Here is the play that everyone's talking about. The Nuggets could tie it up with a 3. They don't call a timeout. Jamal Murray with the Jimmy Butler guarding him up. Step back 3. No. And it's the Miami Heat who walk away with a game 2 victory, 111-108. Jokic 41-11. Jimmy Butler 21 points, 9 assists. We're all tied up at one game apiece.
I just think nobody cares on our team. We're not worried about what anybody thinks. We're so focused in on what we do well and who we are as a group. That's what I think it is. I think it's the I don't give a damn factor.
Now let's talk about effort. I mean, this is the NBA Finals, and we're talking about effort. That's a huge concern of mine. You know, we had guys out there that were just whether feeling sorry for themselves for not making shots or thinking they can just turn it on or off. This is not the preseason. This is not the regular season. It's not round. This is the NBA Finals. And that to me is really, really perplexing, disappointing.
You know, it definitely seems like Jimmy's got a point when he talked about the Heat not caring. You know, the Heat, 8-point underdog in game two, giving them their 10th upset win of the postseason. That breaks a tie with the 2020 Heat, the 95 Rockets, for the most by any team in the last 30 postseasons. Okay, let's bring in everybody here. And Wendy, you were there last night. What did you take away after this, especially you hear Coach Malone talking about the Nuggets and the lack of effort?
Yeah, so one of the things that really concerned the Nuggets after game one, as good as that game was how many open shots the Miami Heat missed. it was not just the ones that they, you know, the number, but just the, how open those shots were. I think they had 16 shots that were considered wide open. And they really tried to get onto their team to not expect the Heat to miss those kind of shots again. And then right out of the gate in game two, and then especially in the second half, there were those open shots again. And so Mike Malone, it seems to me, really got on his team after this game about that. I was not in the Nuggets locker room. I want to be clear about that. But boy, the vibe was that Malone had really gotten after his team, because three of his starters, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Aaron Gordon, and Michael Porter Jr., all of them left without speaking to the media. That is not something that you see after game two of a series, maybe after you get eliminated, but there was obviously some emotion that came off of that team last night. And I will say that there might be something to the Heat strategy of letting Jokic go ahead and score all the points, and that he is averaging 41 points this postseason in the Nuggets' losses. Now, if I showed you the numbers, the Nuggets were still great on offense last night. It wasn't like they failed to score just because the Heat sort of forced Jokic into shooting. But there might be something about the Nuggets overall as a team where they're better defensively when everybody's involved, when they have more of a democratic process, because they were a little sluggish defensively last night, and Malone really got into them after the game. And we'll have to see how that plays out going into game three.
Herc, what'd you think?
Well, one, I hope Mike Malone got on himself, because Eric Spoelstra's game plan was just too much for him on both ends of the floor. I thought the adjustment of adding Kevin Love in that starting lineup was huge. And we keep talking, I hear all this stuff about what Denver didn't do defensively. How about the Miami Heat and the way that they played with pace in the half court? The way that guys were cutting to getting guys open shots. The misdirection plays that they play within their offense, the DHOs, making Bam the point center. That was huge. And I just think we underrate what the Miami Heat do offensively, but they do a really great job of it. And it's hard. Just like it's hard to stop Denver offense, it's hard to stop the Heat offense, especially when Duncan Robinson is in the game. Even if he's not shooting the ball, he's able to be a decoy out there on the offensive end. I thought Eric Spoelstra had a perfect game plan defensively. I thought out of timeouts, he made the necessary adjustments or mixed things up for us blitzing Jamal Murray at times, starting Jimmy Butler on Jamal Murray. I was critical of him last night on social media for us Jimmy Butler not getting buckets and being aggressive, but then I had to think about it. He actually took ownership of guarding Jamal Murray on the defensive end. So although we want to discredit and say that the Denver Nuggets need to do this better, the Miami Heat did a whole lot of things better, and Eric Spoelstra had his team ready to play.
It was interesting because it's almost like they said, Jokic, you score, you're not going to be a playmaker. Only 4 assists last night. And after that first timeout, we heard the sound. You heard Mike Malone telling his team, hey, look, we're going to get offense. Guys, I need effort out of you.
Yeah, it's the defensive effort that was missing last night. But also on offense, I felt like it was like, oh, we're going to try this back cut. Oh, the Heat are in the way. That's the end of the back cut. And so I think there's multiple efforts that the Nuggets need to make, both defensively and offensively. But Duncan Robinson last night, and Perk, I'm glad you brought up what the Heat did, because at halftime, they had pushed the ball up the floor 25 out of 51 possessions, which just spoke to the pace that they were playing with getting into their offense earlier, even though the Nuggets technically had outscored them in transition at that point. But the pace at which they played opened up more lanes for guys to attack. It beat the Nuggets defense up the floor before they could even set up and close up those lanes in the way that we saw in game one. Duncan Robinson, to me, Jeff Van Gundy mentioned it on the call, the way that he has elevated his game over this postseason and broken out of just this shooter role has been terrific for this Miami Heat offense. And so there is, now you're really looking at this series like, will defense travel? Because the Heat have that ability to play defense. They are still living and dying by the three-point line at a high percentage in my mind. But the defense last night was very, very impressive.
Give Eric Spoelstra a lot of credit. Duncan Robinson was a guy who was out of the rotation mm-hmm. in the regular season. He has certainly come up mm-hmm. big here. He had 10 points in that fourth quarter. Kevin Love got the start yesterday. Mm-hmm. You see that paid dividends. Of course, at the end of the game, the Nuggets opted not to take that timeout. They pushed the ball up, trying to catch the Heat, scrambling. The result was that Jamal Murray missed three. I want you to listen to what Tim Legler had to say about this on SportsCenter last night.
He got a clean look. Yeah. They're going to say that they're going to live with that. I think down three, you take advantage of that, having that timeout. That's the whole reason they've got that rule. Advance it. Be about 10 seconds on the clock, probably take it inside, out of bounds. And I think you've got more options at your disposal to get what you want.
All right, Perk, you heard Legs. He didn't like it. He wanted a timeout. What do you think?
I have to disagree with Legs on this one. You're down three. You're dealing with Eric Spoelstra, who, in my opinion, is the best coach in basketball. And you don't want to get a heated opportunity to get in a timeout as well and put that defensive personnel out there. Because at that point in time, all you have to do is switch everything. And I think we saw that even with the Derrick White tip-in in game four was in the last series was that they did a great job of taking away the three-point shot. Although Marcus Smart got one off, it wasn't the best shot. So you don't want to get a heated opportunity as well. Now, look, if you're down two, if you're down one and you're dealing with a and you have one timeout, then, I could understand the timeout. Down three with Eric Spoelstra on the sideline, I actually like this no timeout by Mike Malone.
Wendy, what do you think?
Yeah, I think ideally you have Murray set up for a shot like that as opposed to trying to create his own. But you're not going to get ideal in the last moments of an NBA game, especially when Eric Spoelstra decides he's not going to foul there. He made the indication to his players, no foul. So you know that you got a chance to get off a three-pointer. I thought there was a number of reasons why the Nuggets didn't win this game. This was not one of them, in my opinion.
Jamal Murray's generally been their closer.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think about just, hey, look, just letting them go. Let's try to catch these guys scrambling.
Well, if you watch that play back, you see Malone on the sideline giving them one of these, right? And I can't remember if that was – I think it was Bruce Brown that initially gets this rebound. To me, there was an opportunity for Bruce Brown to push. Like, this 2 seconds or so that's going to be wasted here while they're trying to, like, figure it out, to me, you move a little bit faster, and maybe you, like, see, Jimmy goes to find Jamal. So to me, if you're moving a little bit faster, maybe you create a slightly better look while the Heat haven't yet matched up. But I was okay with it. I didn't love it, but I understand why you go ahead and you let that one rock.
You see, when we talked about this, Jokic had just four assists and had 14 in game one. Is you think that's the key?
Jokic as a facilitator is much more dangerous as far as this series is concerned than Jokic as a scorer. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that last night was an aberration. I think, Wendy, you brought up the stats in terms of when Jokic has scored 40 points or more. The swing to me is going to be, where are the Heat as far as three-point shooting, sincerely? Are they game one's team or are they game two's team? Like, what's the middle ground in terms of how they're going to perform from the three-point line?
Listen, we're going to talk a whole lot more about this NBA final game two, not only this hour, next hour as well. Hey, but coming up, much more on the game. Nuggets head coach, he gave his team an F for effort. One of the Denver's players, he used a different F word. We'll get into that as well. Plus, how about a KC dynasty? Just how many more Super Bowls will Patrick Mahomes win? Travis Kelce has a prediction about his QB, and you're going to hear about it next. It's Get Up here on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by FX's It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It premieres June 7th on FX, and you can stream it on Hulu. Time now for the wake-up call, and here's how the end of Game 2 of the NBA Finals sounded on ESPN Radio with Mark Kestisher.
Denver ball. They got two timeouts. They're down three. They're not going to use the timeout. Here's Murray at the top. Butler defending with four. Murray stepped back for the tie at three. No good! Rebound, Miami! The Heat have won it. 111 to 108. Miami with the win, and the series is tied at one.
You know, the Heat overcame 15-point deficit in Game 2 to tie the finals at one game apiece. This was their seventh double-digit comeback win this postseason. That's tied for the most in a single postseason in the last 25 years. More on that in a moment, but we've got some breaking news here on Get Up and some sneaky moves by the Buffalo Bills. Let's bring in Jeremy Fowler. Jay Fowler, what do you got?
Well, source just confirmed to me this morning that the Buffalo Bills will be signing veteran pass rusher Leonard Floyd. This was worked out over the weekend, expected to get done. They're putting the finishing touches on that contract, expected to be a one-year deal. A very productive player with nine sacks in each of the last three seasons, at least nine sacks. He reunites with Von Miller from their LA Rams days, and the Bills bolster their defensive front in the AFC arms race.
Yeah, they just recently just re-signed Ed Oliver, four-year extension, $68 million. So You know what? Trying to bolster up that front line there. Let's talk more NFL, because let's do a little fact or fiction, guys. And Mike T, I guess I gotta start with you. Cowboys, biggest threat to the Eagles in the NFC. Is that fact or fiction?
1,000% fact. This is a team that has a championship defense, Brian. When you think about Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, now they add Stephon Gilmore. They can play man-to-man on the back end. And if Dak Prescott could just cut down a little bit on his league-leading 17 interceptions, they could easily beat the Eagles in a one-game season.
Jeremy Fowler, 49ers can win the NFC West with any of their quarterbacks on the roster. Is that fact or fiction?
Yes, that is a fact. Kyle Shanahan can make any quarterback work just about to win a division. He's got nearly 20 quarterbacks he's played with since he's been an NFL coordinator, and they've all done well. And this is one of the most loaded rosters in the entire NFL. We know what Kyle can do with Brock Purdy. They're also very excited about Sam Darnold and Trey Lance.
Lewis Riddick, I think Greeny submitted this question. The Jets are the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC. Is that fact or fiction?
Man, we know that's fiction now. I mean, come on. Why do we keep disrespecting the Cincinnati Bengals? I mean, this is a football team that obviously has Joe Burrow. They have weapons galore. They just added more weaponry in the offseason in the drafting of Charlie Jones out of Purdue, who has a ton of juice to go along with Jamar and T and Tyler. And then on the defensive side, they draft Miles Murphy, and they draft two defensive backs in DJ Turner, you know, one number one, you know, out of Michigan, who this is exactly what they need. They need more pass rush, need more coverage ability. They have included a bunch of offensive explosive players. Since he is the team, they're the team.
Since we're talking about the Chiefs, you know, Chiefs have won two Super Bowls now in the last four seasons. They're thought of being a dynasty in Kansas City. It's certainly on a number of people's minds, including Travis Kelce's.
We're 100% a dynasty, but When you put it up against what the Warriors have done, obviously we don't have as many championships right now. So we got some work to do. I think Pat Mahomes is definitely going to find a way to get more than four championships. Hopefully I'm still along for the ride by the time he gets there.
Mike T, you heard Kelsey. Is he right? Are Mahomes, Chiefs, are they currently a dynasty?
They are not, but they are well on their way to becoming one, Brian. They have two championships. And when we talk about football parlance and we talk about guys like Montana, Bradshaw, they won four. Obviously, Tom Brady won seven. That probably is unreachable. But Patrick Mahomes winning a couple more, Brian, I think that's well within reason. And here's why. They are incredibly young on defense. When you go back a year ago, Jalen Watson, Josh Williams, Trent McDuffie, their first rounder, they all played meaningful snaps. They'll be better on defense, which is really remarkable. I think they're a year ahead of their plan. So not yet, but a dynasty is certainly viable for this nucleus.
Lewis, when it's all said and done, will Mahomes end up, you think, with four Super Bowl titles?
Yeah, Brian, I think he will, as long as Andy Reid sticks around. I mean, I don't know exactly what the plan of succession will be for once Andy retires, whether or not it'll be someone on staff or if they wind up going outside of Kansas City. But this organization is solid from top to bottom in terms of the continuity they've been able to maintain. And then, you know, as Mike just pointed out, the drafting that Brett Veach, the general manager, has done over the past three seasons, you know, really capped off by last year, that fantastic rookie crop of DBs that they brought in there has really set the table for them. They're set on the offensive line. They continue to add pieces at wide receiver, which when you think about the rhetoric that was surrounding the Kansas City Chiefs in the beginning of 23. And that was, they don't have enough weapons. Patrick has to take a step back. Tyreek has to be, you know, the blow that kind of really knocks them out of Super Bowl contention. And Patrick winds up having the best season of his career and wins the Super Bowl on basically one leg. So look, this football team is set up. They really have youth on their side. They've got a great plan, great operation. I could definitely see them winning four Super Bowls if everything stays intact.
Hey, Lewis, when do you consider a dynasty? You heard Kelsey, but is it three? Is it four?
Yeah, I think once you win three, I think you're definitely in the conversation. Four, you're there. I mean, there's some great teams now. When you think of teams like the 49ers of the past and the Steelers of the past, Tom Brady's New England Patriots, I mean, these are teams that will go down in history because of their longevity, Brian. I mean, that's what we're talking about, sustained greatness. It seems like Patrick has been playing a long time, but he really hasn't. He's still young. He's still 27 years old. This is a guy who has so much more out ahead of him that he could wind up chasing these records if he wants to and if they can maintain the kind of continuity around him that he needs. And that's what's mind-blowing, is that we're already talking about a guy who's just really now scratching the surface of what he can be professionally in a football team that is so young. So, yeah, they're going to be there. The question, again, as I started off this conversation with, is what does Andy Reid's future look like? How long is he going to be there? And when he decides to step down, who do they turn it over to?
Okay, so if that's the case, then, Jeremy, which team do you think in the AFC is set up to challenge Mahomes and the Chiefs the most in, the next five seasons?
Well, let's go with the Bengals. There are a lot of people around the league who believe that Joe Burrow already is the league's second best quarterback. And Cincinnati is trying to keep its young core intact. Wide receivers Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, Burrow, linebacker Logan Wilson. They want to get all those guys under contract in the next 2 years. They're all 26 years old or older. The Bengals have already had many classic games with the Chiefs. So Chiefs-Bengals could kind of be like the 49ers and Cowboys back in the late 80s, early 90s, duking it out in the conference championship game every year. So I got the Bills right there too, but the Bengals, I think, are the closest.
Mike T, what do you think?
LA Chargers. We've already seen Justin Herbert go in and beat Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. And if we go back a year ago, Brian, look at all the injuries they had from Rashawn Slater missing most of the year, Joey Bosa, J.C. Jackson. If this nucleus could stay healthy, they are going to be hard to beat because of Justin Herbert's upside. So I think Kansas City is better in the regular season, but in one game, I think the Chargers can beat them.
We think, Lewis.
Yeah, look, I think when you're talking about that team, a team, you know, other than the Cincinnati Bengals that could really really challenge Kansas City, you know, look, I have to say it's Miami. I say it has to be Miami because they have got firepower on offense. They have got a fantastic defense that's going to take a step up. But again, you want to talk about durability and availability, it's all about Tua.
Love it. All right, coming up, guys, what happened to the Nuggets last night. And can the Miami Heat win this whole thing? We got to talk more hoops when we come back. It's Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. Game 2 of the NBA Finals, Miami Heat, Denver Nuggets. And we picked this game up in the fourth quarter, and the Heat go on a run. Gabe Vincent knocks down that three. Vincent had 21 points. Duncan Robinson had 10 points in the fourth quarter alone, and the Heat were rolling at this point. So much so, Jimmy Butler, they had 17 threes they knocked down, shot 48% from beyond the arc. Now, Denver would come back, though. That Jamal Murray three, he had 18 points. And then Nikola Jokic gets the offensive board. Kick it to Murray. Murray, another big three. It was 11-2 run by the Nuggets. And then the Heat trying to close it out, up three. Butler misses this three, and the Nuggets don't call timeout. They're going to try and tie it up. They get the ball to Murray. Murray, guarded by Jimmy Butler. Step back three is no good, and it's the Miami Heat who win game two. Series now tied up at 1 game apiece. Michael Malone called out the team for his effort. A reporter asked Jeff Green about the effort as well.
He had to talk about effort in the post-game locker room.
Me too.
I mean, that's what I was going to ask. Are you perplexed that at this stage of the season that that's even a talking point?
Yeah. I mean, it's the finals, man. Like, our energy has to be better. We can't come out like we did. And, we have to be better.
What Uncle Jeffy had to say there. Wendy, I know you were there last night. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, Jeff Green's a good player, and he had a nice game off the bench, but why is he on the podium? He's on the podium because three of the Nuggets' 5 starters walked out of the locker room not wanting to talk about it. And it was the starters that got boat raced. Those guys, the bench actually carried a load for the Nuggets. And that's the question I have. Michael Malone obviously read the way this game went, and knowing his team, felt he needed to jump them. This team hadn't lost. I had to look this up. They hadn't lost since May 7th. That was the last time they had to deal with a loss, almost one full month. And you could kind of tell their effort level didn't match the gravity. And if you watch the way the Heat were moving and the way the Nuggets were moving, it was obviously a difference, as Perk just said a few minutes ago. But I would just say that there was a lot of that in Game 1 as well. The Heat were able to generate a ton of open looks in Game 1. They just didn't make them. In Game 2, they did. So that's what Michael Malone, I think, is reacting to here. He sounded some alarms with his team after Game 1 because he felt like they might have skated away without their best performance, and his team didn't react. So now we went to the next level, and we will definitely see how they react going into Game 3 on Wednesday.
Big Perk, I see your face. You've won a championship. What's your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are not with the Nuggets. They all with the Heat. I thought the Heat did a better job defensively of actually contesting shots. I thought they did a great job of communicating switches. I thought they did an excellent job of chasing and getting over screens. And look, I get it, right? The Mike Malone want the Nuggets to play harder. Okay, cool. But the Heat did a lot of great things last night. And I think it was more so the Heat and how they came out and imposed their will and less about the Nuggets. And I want to say this about the Miami Heat real quick. The word trust, we hear Jimmy Butler talk about what these guys are capable of doing in the locker room. It was so many times where I wanted Jimmy Butler, me personally, last night to say, go, take over the game. And he just kept trusting his teammates. He was staying in the corner at times, not even being involved with the offense, letting Duncan Robinson make plays on the weak side, letting Gabe Vincent use the high pick and roll with Bam and get to his mid-range pull-ups. This team really have trust. This team never hang their head. You never see bad body language. You never see them pouting. They jumped out to a double-figure lead, and guess what? The Nuggets went on a, 26-5 run, went up by 12. The Heat just kept pushing, kept trusting those guys through the storm on the road, and that's what you love to see. That's the true definition of a team right there, the Miami Heat.
It's interesting because you hear the Nuggets talking a lot about effort. You hear Perk saying, no, it was more about what the Heat did. You sipping that tea. What does Monica McNutt think about all this?
I'm going to split the difference. I think you saw a defense that can travel. And honestly, I'm watching this game last night, and it gave me flashbacks of Gonzaga and Baylor in the national championship game in terms of Baylor having dealt with some adversity and Gonzaga having had that undefeated run, but Baylor's defense traveled. The Miami Heat defense is going to travel. I think for me, they're still living and dying by the three-point line. And so are they more the game one team from three or are they the game two team from three, right? And so I think that's going to be something important to watch. Watching this game, though, in terms of a team that has more room to grow and be better, I think we all would agree that it was the Nuggets, despite what the Heat did well defensively. So much in game two, you saw, all right, this one back cut didn't work. That's the end of our actions in terms of trying to get open for Jokic to find us. I think there are more wrinkles for the Nuggets to apply offensively to get a little bit more creative. There's definitely room for them to be much better defensively and to be far more focused in clutch time.
You know, that's interesting because Jokic had just 4 assists after having 14 in game one. But what do you got, Kurt? What do you got?
Well, but see, it was a point, I believe it was, in the third quarter, in the second half, where Kevin Love got switched out on Michael Porter Jr. And Michael Porter Jr. tried to get in his bag. He tried to give Kevin Love everything and more. And Kevin Love was sliding those puppies. And it brought me back to Kevin Love in Cleveland when they came back from being down 3-1. And he got caught up and he got caught on the island with Steph Curry. See, this was more about the Miami Heat because the internet went crazy like, oh, why did Michael Porter not be able to beat Kevin Love? Because of the experience, because of the willpower, because I'm going to buckle down and actually play defense. Again, this was more about the Miami Heat.
Okay, Perk, since you felt the need to jump in on that, I'm going to give you that. I think the Heat played well, but you and I both saw at 3:47 to go, that offensive rebound that bounces back to Jimmy. That's a 3 in the corner for Caleb Martin. Bam, threw the ball off the backboard. I don't know what happened. The Heat come up with that one as well. And so, yes, in totality, the Heat played a much better game. I will give you that, Perk. There is no doubt in my mind. However, you watch this thing closely. The Nuggets and clutch were a little bit out of character. Now, we can blame that on the Heat, and maybe this is more true to what it's going to look like in this series, but you got to admit, there's room for the Nuggets to be better. The Heat almost played flawless.
Wendy, why Jokic, listen, he had 41 last night. He had buckets. Why does Denver seem to lose, though, when Jokic scores big?
Yeah, this is a good question. I just don't have the direct answer because by the actual numbers, the Nuggets offense was better in game two than they were in game one. If you look at their offensive efficiency, it was awesome. It wasn't that the offense wasn't working. Obviously, Jokic has the ability to downshift into this style. I suspect, I wish I could tell you I know for sure, I suspect that when the other Nuggets players aren't as involved offensively, that they're not quite the same defensively, that their defensive effort possibly may be affected by the lack of being involved on offense. And Jokic would tell you this. In game one, he took three shots in the first half and they were killing. He would prefer to play that way than the way he played last night because the Nuggets operate better as a team playing that style of basketball. So I will, you know, definitely you have to not let your defense be affected by your offense. But like I said, to use a line from Monty Williams that I learned from him, don't get happy on the farm. I kind of think the Nuggets, having not lost for a month, yeah, might not have had the same level of desperation as the Heat going into this game.
Go ahead, Perk.
Are you making all these noises?
I know. Go ahead, Perk.
Oh, golly.
No, I'm just saying, but Wendy, think about this. In the first half of game one, Aaron Gordon set the tone in the first quarter, him and Jamal Murray. Why? Because the Heat was small. All of a sudden, Eric Spoelstra put Kevin Love into the lineup. We don't see that same energy out of Aaron Gordon. We're not able to see those duck in and seals that Jokic was able to do those high-low passes. Again, this was about the Heat, the adjustments that they made. Think about this for a second. Caldwell Pope, Bruce Brown, those guys kind of somewhat had it going in game one. Okay, All of a sudden, I started to see Gabe Vincent and Max Strus and those guys slide their puppies. They just left out of the series where they had to guard Derek White, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown. Do you think they're not capable of actually locking in? And again, the biggest adjustment on the Heat side was Jimmy Butler being a dog and guarding Jamal Murray. Those were adjustments. This was not about the Nuggets. This was about the Heat last night.
Hey, Perk, I know you do all the shows on television. Oh, sorry, Wendy. Go ahead, Wendy.
Perk, I agree that the strategy clearly made sense. It limited the Nuggets' offensive options. The Nuggets shot 52%. They didn't lose the game on the offensive end. They lost the game defensively. I agree with you that Jimmy Butler was better on Jamal Murray. I agree with you that putting Love in there limited what they could do with the post-ups. But the Nuggets shot 52% and scored 108 points. They were better in game two offensively than game one. It's a strange thing, but that number is what I went to bed thinking about last night. Jokic averaging 42 points in the Nuggets' losses in the playoffs. There's something to that. And Eric Spoelstra identified that too.
Perk, I know you're getting ready for, you got shows all day. You don't have to win on this show. We're just having a conversation. We agree that Miami Heat's defense was solid. So just relax. We hear you. He played great defense.
He's basically saying I'm the DJ Khaled of ESPN. That's all I do is win.
You.
He said that's all I do. Now, is this enough for all of y'all to change y'all's mind that win? That the Heat can win this series. Because you know Perk believes the Heat are going to win this
series.
Listen, I
did not rule it out going into this series. I did pick Denver in six. I think I could be wrong and I would not be shocked. How is this three-point shooting going to travel, right? When I watched last night's game, the Nuggets got punched in the mouth in terms of the physicality. I think that they can respond, but I don't know.
We'll see. We're going to talk a lot more about this game. Look, Perk, you got her tongue tied here.
Wow.
Hey, coming up, what do the Lakers need to do this offseason to get LeBron another title? Is a major move looming? We're going to discuss that next here on Get Up.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Faced tough times this year, and so we've learned how to handle setbacks and then just getting to work.
10 straight points by the Heat, and Miami their first lead since early in the second quarter. Duncan Robinson drives and finishes.
Tremendous response.
Miami's overcome a 15-point deficit. Back out to Murray, his three-pointer. Three-point game, 4 seconds. Murray, step back, three-pointer, one goal, and it's over. The Miami Heat have tied the NBA Finals. What a comeback here on the road for the Heat.
All right, looking ahead to Game 3 of the NBA Finals, which is Wednesday, with it tied up at one game apiece. The team that wins Game 3 goes on to win the title 80% of the time. Now, that trend hasn't necessarily held up recently, as Game 3 winners have just a 4-4 series record since the 2010 finals. All right, time now for a little game of right or wrong. Monica, I'm gonna start with you. Frank Vogel, great fit for Kevin Durant, Devin Booker in the Suns. Is that right or wrong?
Is there a middle ground? It's right, it's fine. Right? Like, Frank Vogel has won a championship, like, he's respected. I do think that his former team had a little bit more of a defensive pedigree, so there's a lot to be seen in terms of how they fill out the rest of this roster. That's not necessarily KD and Book's calling card, although I think KD is a terrific defender when he's locked in.
Perk, James Harden's best shot at a title is staying in Philly with Joel Embiid. Is that right or wrong?
Definitely right. Because of the transition of James Harden actually moving to that point guard spot, when you have the two-time leading scoring champion on your team, the big Philly, you better stay put, because he's definitely, when healthy, could be the best player in any series.
Wendy, Anthony Davis's upcoming extension is a bigger deal than LeBron's retirement talk. Is that right or wrong?
That's right. And I want to just point out that Anthony Davis can't sign the extension until August. So it's going to be after, excuse me, he sees what the Lakers do this offseason. But Anthony Davis is still in his prime. If you want to focus on his shortcomings and the negatives, go have at it. The man is an absolute dominating player. He's vitally important for any team having postseason hopes and dreams. And they do not want him messing with free agency in 2024. That's a primary offseason thing for the Lakers. Get Anthony Davis locked down past when LeBron is even signed for.
All right, based off of that, Perk, should Rob Pelinka and the Lakers just be rushing to sign Anthony Davis to an extension?
No, they shouldn't. I wouldn't. Here's the thing. We haven't seen a healthy Anthony Davis in, what, 3 or 4 years? And you have to start asking yourself, if you're the front office, if you're Rob Pelinka, can you trust AD and hand him the keys to the car? I understand. We all talk about how he's a generational talent, but health matters. And when I think about health and I think about handing the keys, durability. Can he be the number one option to take your team over the top? And we have to be honest with that question. We all expect him to be. We see it at times. But what was the biggest talk in the postseason? Can AD put together back-to-back games consistently of being dominant? Or is it the odd game or the even game AD we're going to get? When you start to have those question marks, if I'm the front office, then I'm going to say, you know what? I got to see more out of him. I'm sorry.
I see you sipping that tea over there. Is that McNuttons or what?
My throat coat. I just think AD catches a bad rap. I don't know that it's fair. Like, if your options are build around this guy or scrap it, like, I think that that is a big swing, and I think that's a little bit unfair. I mean, he's still one of the best defenders in the league. He's still got a ton of ability to score. I think he's a guy that guys want to play with. I could be wrong in that estimation, but I think you figure out how to get this deal done. I feel like in the absence of Bron over the course of the month of March and in this postseason, they lost to a very good Nugget squad. Like, he showed, to me, growth in terms of a guy that you can build around.
Perk, what do you think?
Well, I didn't say scrap it. We're talking about an extension. So he still is under there for one more year. But again, I haven't seen AD be healthy. And my thing is, when you're talking about the franchise guy, right now, at the age of 38, I could trust and depend on a LeBron James more than I can LeBron. To Anthony Davis, and that's a problem.
It's LeBron, though.
So what is 38?
Like, that is the highest bar to put basketball player up against.
No, it is not at 38 years old going into season 21. Like, like that's a lot. That's a lot.
Come on now.
Be fair.
All right, okay.
Listen, the Lakers have got a lot of decisions they've got to decide, and one of them is building around. You talk about LeBron and AD. How about Kyrie Irving? You know, he's at free agency. Wendy, where do we stand in this Kyrie free agency situation with him?
Yeah, at the end of the season, I thought that the Lakers might consider clearing the cap space and making a run for Kyrie. But all of the indications and what Rob Pelinka has said and what they're, you know, sort of lining up behind the scenes point to them doing exactly what Pelinka has gone on the record and saying and keep this team together. That would mean re-signing Rui Hachimura, re-signing Austin Reeves, potentially re-signing Lonnie Walker. I do think it's a question mark about, you know, if you're going to re-sign D'Angelo Russell, what's the contract going to be? Because he was making $30 million. He's not a $30 million player, in my opinion. And with, as far as Kyrie goes, I mean, I think the Dallas Mavericks really do want to keep him. And they still have the positional power to pay him more money than anybody else. Certainly can pay him more than the Lakers. And that has to be somewhat of an issue for Kyrie, because he asked to be traded from the Nets because of the contract offer that they gave him. And so, you know, having been, you know, 3 weeks now off the end of the Lakers season, I would say that it is most likely they do go forward with this core. And that if I had to handicap it right now, I would say the most likely place for Kyrie Irving to be would be back in Dallas. Not saying it's locked down, not saying it's done. But if I had to lead, you know, best odds, I would say back in Dallas.
Okay, so then, Perk, do you think that the Lakers should just stick with this young core, not pursue Kyrie Irving, and can they get out of that crowded West with this young core that they've already had?
They can. And I love the growth from Rui Hachimura. The change of scenery, you know, being up under LeBron wing, working out with Phil Handy on a day-to-day basis, I actually love it because we saw the best out of him. I think Lonnie Walker, he's going to continue to get better. And Austin Reeves is a flat-out stud. I think you run it back with this group. Yeah, you could add some additional pieces, go out there on the free agency market to improve the depth on his bench. I don't know the situation with Malik Beasley, but I wouldn't consider bringing him back. But absolutely, you got to bring back Rui and Austin Reeves, no doubt about it.
Well, give me a final word on this.
I'm just glad Perk and I found a common ground this morning, because I feel like we've been at odds. I agree.
I think that
this team.
You've been at odds.
Stop. I'm cool. That's you over there saying the same thing twice like somebody was arguing with you. Anyway, I agree. I think that this team, they were terrific. They only can get better with more time to gel and develop more continuity and chemistry.
All right. I love it. See, we can come together. It takes us a while, but we can come together here. All right, coming up, we got to get back to last night's Mile High miss in game two. What happened to those Nuggets in the final seconds? We're going to break it all down on Get Up.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.